We've been visiting with attorney Steve Jackson about some of the pitfalls that await those who think that the repeal of the estate tax is naturally going to be a good thing, because on its surface it certainly appears that it would be exactly that. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that the estate tax effectively has really been replaced with capital gains tax, because people no longer, when they die, or their heirs do no longer receive the so-called step-up in basis, which means if there's a latent profit existing in some asset, the house that we were using as an example that was purchased by someone's parents for $15,000 in 1960, and when they died it was worth $200,000, there's a $185,000 profit that's built into that house, or a gain, that heretofore would not have been taxed, but now it's going to be subject to capital gains tax, at least to the extent that that asset is sold during 2010. What happens, Steve, if that asset isn't sold? What happens if someone waits until 2011?
In essence, what's going to land is it's going to be what happens when mom and dad pass, because in essence, you know, the trigger is fixed. You can't really go backwards. So whatever the rule is whatever the rule is. So, for example, we're in February. If somebody died, I had a client call, and the aunt died in January, 2010. So even if they change the rule, you know, on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, they lost a step up in basis when the aunt died in January.
So we're really in the dark as to what the rules would be in 2011. So we really don't know.
Well, what'll happen in 2011, unless Congress changes it, it will get the step up in basis back.
Okay, right.
And the estate tax will be back at a rate of top rate of 55%. And anything over $1 million.
All right. So it just becomes a more pernicious tax at that point, because you have less that's excluded.
You have less that's excluded and you have a higher tax rate.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's take a look at some of the issues that might befall people who have already had their estate plans drafted. For instance, one of the estate planning tools that's commonly used is the use of a so-called credit shelter trust and maybe a marital trust. They go hand in hand, and that those two trusts could be created through a will, or it could be created through a trust. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Okay. So under the previous law, it would have been natural for there to be these two trusts created, where one trust receives a certain amount of money to help bypass the taxes, and then the rest of the money, let's say, goes to the spouse directly, or for her or his use. But now, with the repeal of the estate tax, when those trusts are divvied up, or when the money's divvied up for these relative trusts, you can have a very unequal situation that was never intended, because I guess most of the attorneys who are drafting these documents would never have expected for the tax to be repealed in the first place, right?
Well, part of it, yes. And part of it is what's a common practice for a married couple is that we've talked about these $3.5 million or $1 million exemption. A married couple, you can combine those. So let's say we have two, each a husband and a wife each have $1 million exemption. You combine those in the estate plan and divide the assets between them so that you could get $2 million of assets without being exposed to estate tax on those first $2 million. And that's a very common estate planning technique. The situation that's, and they use what's called a funding formula, which is how do we divide them between the trusts. It's kind of a legalese.
And that funding formula is dependent upon the way the law is at the time that the
Absolutely.
Funding formula needs to be interpreted.
Absolutely.
So if you have that funding formula drafted in a document, you know, let's say in 2007 or 2008, where there was really no sniff of the repeal, and then there's a death that occurs in 2010, when you apply that formula, it's not going to work at all as it was intended. And that's
no,
the crux, right?
And part of it is, yes, because it's set up to say if there's an estate, it's set up to avoid estate taxes. And most times, and it really says the amount of that would be subject to estate tax goes this way and the amount not subject goes that way. The difficulty gets into now there's no estate tax. So we may be, instead of what should have gone to the surviving spouse, may end up with the kids and vice versa, which is really an issue if you have a blended family.
Which is common today. I mean,
absolutely. It's probably half of what we see is a blended family, either by a divorce and remarriage or a widow and widower and remarriage, or the second spouse. So you could say, I want certain things going over to the kids and these other things going over to take care of the second spouse, and they may end up reversed by the funding formula because there is no estate tax.
And you can end up with a surviving spouse who has much less money than intended, right?
Yes, or the kids.
Right,
it could
be
the other way around.
By the way, I realized that I gave your fax number before. The correct number to reach Steve without him having to pick up his fax phone would be 252-7300. So if you have any doubts as to whether or not your documents that you've already had drafted are meeting the needs of your family, what I would recommend is give Steve a call, and you'll review them. How do you work that?
We normally get some simple information up front. How do we spell everybody's names? And how do you own it? Is it husband's name, wife's name, joint name? What do you have and how do you own it? And then we'll look at the documents ahead of time, then sit down with them. What do you want to do? Where do you want to end up? And then see if it matches their goal. Because a lot of times what they think they have, they don't.
Right. So they have an objective that's not borne out by the documents.
Yes. And most times, folks are not going to know. If I look under the, if something goes down with the Toyota vehicle outside, I might have to get some help because it's not what I do.
That's right. Okay. So the number once again is 252-7300. I apologize for giving your fax number earlier on. Now, you also, I believe, once you take a client on, you have maybe some seminars that you offer?
We have a formal update program, and a lot of our clients are in that, where we, if you're in our update program, the life plan system, we will update the documents as the law changes. So, for example, for our clients that are older, that we've had for a while, we will update the documents to change the funding formula. So if we don't have an estate tax, it runs one way. If we have an estate tax, it goes the other. And then we also work with the families and keep the legal documents current and keep the family informed and educated.
Great. What other kind of services do you typically provide on a recurring basis? Where do you spend most of your time practicing?
Estate planning, and then we'll have, after somebody passes on the administration, and then we also will do some small business planning. And a lot of that relates to asset protection.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will have, Glenn, as you know, they'll have a corporation or a limited liability company, but they don't have any of the formalities.
Right.
They just set it up with the Secretary of State, thinking they have a shield between their residence, their personal residence,
right,
and whatever liability they create for the business, and they don't.
So you can look at joint tenancy issues where people have made mistakes.
And we just find out what they want to do, help educate them, and then let them decide.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end here. Call Steve at 252-7300, and I'm sure he'll help you out however he can. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. Thanks for joining us on the Talk of the Mountains.
Thank you, Glenn.